Thank you, Vishu, and salam to all listeners of Radio Sai. Welcome to yet another episode of our weekly series, Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam. Most humbly and gratefully, we offer our loving salutations at Swami's lotus feet. And to join me in offering our most loving pranams and to welcome all listeners, I have with me Brother Sai Prakash of Team Radio Sai. Salam, Sai Prakash.
Salam, Prem.
Dear listeners, if you've been a regular follower of this series, you will be well aware that we are studying the discourse series Swami gave as part of the 1990 summer course. We are in the last lap of the fourth discourse in that series, the series where Swami speaks about the senses. And it's a wonderful series, as we have mentioned many times before, and it's definitely worth mentioning any number of times more, that this is a series where Swami talks about human birth in the various levels as we see it, the body, you know, the culture of human society, then the senses which are subtle, and then the mind which will come, and so many other aspects which are going to come. And one thing, if I have to let a part of the one or two cats out of the bag, I should say that as this discourse goes on, the other discourses come, the anecdote content of these discourses actually keeps increasing.
Oh, is that right?
Some very, very interesting stories and very unique chinakathas which you will not find in some other discourses.
Okay.
I've heard in this series. So, okay. But that's yet to come.
Even the last episode was wonderful because Swami mentioned about Shishupala.
Right.
And in that context, how Swami mentioned that it is not the Sudarshana Chakra that came to behead him.
Right.
It was actually the Tambulam. That Krishna just threw it. But the beauty is again where Swami mentions that you can remember the Lord with any emotion, whether it's anger or hatred or love or bhakti, that doesn't matter to the Lord. Because of the constant remembrance of the Lord, you are bound to merge into him.
One very, very graphic description and anecdote which Swami gives is that of the moth becoming, transforming from the caterpillar stage to that moth stage.
True.
Where
true.
Swami says, it is given the fear of a moth. It's, you know, it goes into the cocoon,
mm-hmm.
and the mother moth goes mm-hmm. and, you know, scares it mm-hmm. with its appearance.
Oh, okay.
Swami says the worm doesn't know that it is also going to become the moth, but, you know, out of the fear of that form of the moth, mm-hmm. Swami says this transforms into a moth itself.
Oh, okay. That's very apt in the sense, it doesn't matter with which emotion you actually think of the Lord.
Right. But having said that, it is indeed, you know, where the path is as beautiful as the destination too,
mm-hmm.
if we get to have devotion and
that's
love
true.
For God. And
that's true. In fact, at some point of time, Swami mentioned
mm-hmm.
that, you know, if I could give liberation to Shishupala and Kamsa and people who thought of me with such hatred,
okay,
how much more willing and how much more happy I will be to bless my devotees, those who think of me with love. It actually makes no difference to him. But then he says, don't be disheartened. Don't think that you will not. The more you think of him with love, he is always there for you.
Right. And as Swami says in a very famous Telugu Padyam, he says, I have come to give you bhakti. I mm-hmm. have come to give you shakti mm-hmm. and hold your hand and take you to mukti.
Wow.
You know, it's almost like nothing is left for us to do.
Mm. But I was just going through the earlier discourses which Swami has mentioned, and the definition of bhakti that he gives is so beautiful. He says, the purpose of bhakti is to become a drashta. And the one who is able to see the truth and understand the truth of this body, of this right. mind, of the senses, he is the drashta. And that love and devotion to the self, that is true bhakti. So he says, by prolonged association and prolonged contemplation on the self or the Atman, you realize the truth of what you are, and that is bhakti.
Beautiful.
that's the definition of bhakti. And we think that chanting the name and all these are only ways of getting there. I think that's the ultimate goal of bhakti.
Right. In fact, you know, this is something which Swami repeats in so many different ways.
Mm-hmm.
As you were just saying that, you know, there are so many ways of achieving it, and depending on who has been who has asked this question to Swami. Swami says different things. I remember once a youth group which had an opportunity of having an interview with Swami.
Mm-hmm.
They said, Swami, you say that, you know, you are divine and we are also divine and you know it, but we don't know it.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we get to know it?
Okay.
How do we get to know it like you?
Mm.
Swami said, you know, very simply, what do I do?
Mm.
I keep saying I'm God.
Mm.
Swami said, you also keep saying that you're God. One day the understanding will come.
Wow, amazing.
You know, how many ways are there to reach that same destination?
Mm.
Depending on each one's, you know, sanskaras and vasanas.
This is what Swami mentioned also in one of the meetings in the bhajan hall, I remember. And Swami says, yeah, you should say that I am God, but you should also behave in accordance with that. You're just saying that I am God, and do whatever you want and behave in any possible way. Every act of yours, every thought of yours, every deed of yours should reflect what would have been, what is befitting of that state of godliness. So then you actually become God.
You know, once somebody was talking about the difference between God and a devotee,
mm-hmm.
in the sense of the duties.
Okay.
So he said, God has many duties.
Mm-hmm.
He has many devotees, and depending on which stage each devotee is, he has many duties. You know, somebody has to be taken care of spiritually, somebody has to be taken care of in a mundane monetary way. But the devotee has only one duty.
Correct.
The devotee's duty is to have faith.
Wow.
But the God who protects has many duties.
No, actually that's very interesting, because if you actually go through Bhagavad Gita, now Krishna is actually contradicting himself in so many different ways. At one point of time, you say, go to hell with bhakti and jnana, all we need to do is karma. And then next you go, you say, no, bhakti is the most important. Then you say, no, jnana is the most important. But what the understanding you get on analysis is that he is catering to an audience of different levels. People who have taken, because the end result is the same. People may follow different paths. So he is catering to people of different paths. In one place he says, you surrender everything to me, I will take care of you. In another place he says, you better do your duty and your karma. Now people will wonder whether he is the eternal witness looking at us just doing our actions, or he is actually going to do everything for us. So, but it's again the path that you choose. So the Bhagavad Gita gives us many suggestions and many paths, but ultimately the path which you choose, those portions appeal to you and you can take that path.
You know, as it is said, as you were saying, the thing which they say is mama dharma. Swami mm-hmm. says that is the essence of the Bhagavad Gita.
Yes.
You do your dharma.
Mm.
But the final verse of the Bhagavad Gita is sarva dharman parityajya. You know, give up all your sense of dharma.
Correct.
I will take care of you.
That's also true.
But if you actually see it, if you look at it from what I said, you know, the duty of a devotee is to have faith.
Mm.
That comes in the realm of sarva dharman parityajya.
Very true.
That again is dharma. A dharma of a devotee is to give up the idea of dharma and depend on the Lord. So when you go through the dharma of a normal human being, when you come to a devotee stage, there your dharma actually changes. And in fact, that is what the Bhagavad Gita is all about. It starts with karma, then it starts about sankhya, it talks about inquiry,
correct.
It talks about bhakti,
mm-hmm.
then it says, talks about the highest level of bhakti, which is nothing but jnana.
True.
So I think it's quite an elaborate and digression as well as an introduction.
Yeah. So coming back to mastery of the senses, that was the title of this particular discourse.
Right.
I think what we should do is directly go into the clip,
mm-hmm.
Complete the two clips that we have on hand.
Okay.
And if time permits, we should try to summarize this chapter as well as chapters that we dealt with before.
Right.
So that we get the flow and the continuity.
As we promised our listeners last week.
That's true.
Let's hope we have the time to do that.
Yes.
So we'll start by listening to the second last clip of this discourse.
Sure.
అయితే లోకులు బాహ్య సంబంధమైన లౌకిక సంబంధమైనటువంటి యొక్క విషయములను చర్యలను మాత్రమే గుర్తిస్తూ వస్తుంటారు.
ది ఓన్లీ పీపుల్ విల్ ఓన్లీ జస్ట్ సీ ఇన్ ఎన్ ఎక్స్టర్నల్ వే అండ్ ఓన్లీ సూపర్
భగవంతుడు దానిని చూడడు.
గాడ్ నెవర్ సీస్.
భగవంతుడికి ద్వేషము కానీ లేక అసూయ కానీ లేక ఇష్టం కాని ఏ ఒక్కటి కూడా తనకి లేదు.
God doesn't have anything like hatred, jealousy, love. అన్ని
మీలో ఉండేటువంటి మీకు ప్రతిబింబించేటువంటి ప్రతిబింబాలే.
All that you see as hatred, love is only
నిర్మలమైనటువంటి అద్దం వంటి వాడు.
God is always like a pure
అద్దం ముందు నిల్చుకొని ఏ విధంగా యాక్ట్ చేస్తే అద్దంలో ఉండే ప్రతిబింబం అదే రీతిగా యాక్ట్ చేస్తుంది.
Like a mirror, he reflects your own feelings and your own actions and your own thoughts.
అద్దం ముందు నిల్చుకొని దానిని దండిస్తూ ఇస్తుడా అది కూడా నిన్ను దండిస్తూ వస్తుంది.
You go on showing anger, standing before the mirror, it expresses the same thing.
ఆ అద్దంలో ఉండే ప్రతిబింబానికి ఒక నమస్కారం కొట్టు, ఆ నమస్కారం తిరిగి నీకు అందిస్తుంది.
You offer a namaskar folding your hands in the mirror, you see the same.
నీవు చేసినటువంటి దీనికి నీకు రియాక్షన్ గా వస్తుంది అది, కానీ భగవంతునికి యాక్షన్ రియాక్షన్ రెండూ లేవు.
Your own action gets reaction as a reaction to you. God has neither like
భగవంతునికి ఒకటి ఇష్టము అయితే అయిష్టము అనేటువంటిది కాదు.
గాడ్ హ్యాస్ నో లైక్స్ అండ్ నో డిస్ లైక్స్.
ఒకటి శిక్ష, ఒకటి రక్ష అనేటువంటిది కాదు.
పనిష్మెంట్ అండ్ ప్రొటెక్షన్
అన్ని కూడా మన ప్రవర్తనల యొక్క ప్రభావాలి.
ప్రొటెక్షన్ అండ్ పనిష్మెంట్ డిపెండ్ అపాన్ అవర్ యాక్షన్.
కనుక భగవంతునికి ఏ విధమైన ఈ విధంగా చేస్తున్నాడే, ఈ విధంగా చూస్తున్నాడే, ఈ విధంగా వారిని మాత్రం దగ్గర చేర్చాడే, వీరిని మాత్రం దగ్గర చేయలేదు, ఈ విధమైనటువంటి నిర్ణయం చేసే అధికారం ఎవరికీ లేదు.
No one has the authority or the right to decide that God is making one nearer and making one
ittle undali atle undali ani evaru shasinche adhikaram undi.
Who can command and say prescribe?
Andarlo undinatundi oka daivattamu anni rakalugalanu pravartinchavachchu.
His divinity can express itself in
aithe swartha rahitamaintundi kanuka deeniki ye dosham undadu.
But because it is pure from
paripurnamainatundi oka prema kanuka idi ye vidhamaina malinyamu kudaradu.
It has no selfishness and it is full of love.
Kanukane bhagavantulaku aneka rakamainatundi birudulu untunnayi.
There are a number of titles for God.
Nirgunam, niranjanam, sanatanam, niketanam, nitya subha buddha mukta nirmala swarupinam anna. కనుక భగవంతుడు అన్ని రకములైనటువంటి యొక్క పవిత్రతలో ఉండేటువంటి వానికి ఇట్టి అపవిత్రము ఇది పవిత్రము అని నిర్ణయించే నీ దృష్టిలో ఉంటుండాలి, కానీ భగవంతుని దృష్టిలో లేదు.
గాడ్ సేక్రెడ్నెస్ ఇస్ ఫుల్ అండ్ టోటల్. యు హావ్ నో రైట్ టు డిసైడ్ దట్ సచ్ అండ్ సచ్ థింగ్ అలోన్ షుడ్ బి గాడ్.
భావం తద్భవతి.
వాట్ యు సీ,
నీవు ఏ రంగు అద్దాలు వేసుకున్నావో ప్రపంచమంతా అదే రంగుగానే కనిపిస్తుంది.
ఆన్ ది టైప్ ఆఫ్ గ్లాసెస్ దట్ యు వేర్ you see the world as
srushti yokka dosham kaadu nee drushti yokka dosham.
There is no defect in creation, it is the only defect in your own vision.
Kane indriyamulu ee doshamulu gaavistunnayi ani manam anukotamu idi kevalam mana yokka bhavamune yokka doshame.
There is a defect in your own feeling when you say that these sense organs have some defects.
Indriyamulu sareenatti bhavanni manam abhruthi parchukunte indriyamulu sareenatti arthanni andistuntayi.
If you develop correct and good feelings, your sense organs will give you correct
feelings. Rendu tanlo manchi bhavam pettukunnadu bari chesinatundi yokka tappu pani kodunu tanu manchidi gane bhavinchadu.
Tukaram had good feelings. Whatever his wife did also turned out to be good for
Kabir. Nirantaram kodunu bhagavat chintana cheta kalamu gadupthu vachadu kalakane bari chesinatundi dinnanta kodunu manchi gane bhavistu vachadu.
Kabir also was constantly thinking of the Lord. Therefore, whatever his wife did also,
I still samabhavamunu kaligi pavitramainatundi hrudayamto oka sadhana chaduttu vachadu kanuka adi kudanu tanu bhari chesinatundi oka pani samanvayam chesukuntu vachadu.
Einstein had equal mindedness. Therefore, whatever his wife did also, he accepted as a good thing alone.
Kanuka manalo manamu samanvayam gavinchukuneetundi oka sadhanam manam salpali.
We should have the capacity to harmonize with the
bhagavantudu mana indriyalanta baitike ichchadu ganaka atande tappu kaani maari kaadu antuntaru kotta mandi mondi varu.
Some blind ones go on criticizing God. God has made the sense organs to go externally. It is his mistake, not
bhagavantudu kannulu ichchadu kaani baitike deeni talupulu pettadu ga lobalaku pettaledhe.
God has given you the eyes. Well, if they are going externally, it is only your own defect.
Bhagavantudu chevu ichchadu prapancham vaipune tippadu ga lobala vaipune tippalede.
God has given the ears, they are turned to the external world.
Mukku ichchadu baita swasamine teesukobannadu gaani lopala swasam kaadannade.
And God has given the nose,
kaabatti srushtilore dosham undi.
Therefore some people decide that God
idi maa dosham kaadu ani aa rakamga samanvayam cheskuntuntaru.
There is defection, defects only in creation.
Ade
we don't have any defects. దిస్ ఇస్ అ గ్రేట్ మిస్టేక్.
అనేక దోషములు చేయటము. ఐఎమ్ ఎ హ్యూమన్. ఇది ఎంత పొరపాటు, ఎంత పాపము.
టు సే దట్ టు ఎర్ ఇస్ హ్యూమన్ ఈజ్ అ గ్రేట్ మిస్టేక్, ఎ సిన్.
ఐఎమ్ ఎ హ్యూమన్. నేను మానవుడు కాబట్టి తప్పులు చేయటం నా స్వభావం అని సమర్థించుకుంటున్నాడు.
పీపుల్ గో ఆన్ డిఫెండింగ్ ఐ హావ్ ఎ హ్యూమన్ బీయింగ్. టు ఎర్ ఇస్ హ్యూమన్, దేర్ఫోర్ హి గోస్ ఆన్.
చాలా తప్పు అది పిల్లల లోపల.
దిస్ ఇస్ ఎ గ్రేట్ మిస్టేక్, లెట్ ది యూత్ నోట్ దిస్.
నీవు మానవుడైనందుకు తప్పులు చేయకూడదు.
ఆఫ్టర్ బీయింగ్ ఎ హ్యూమన్ బీయింగ్ యు షుడ్ నాట్ కమిట్ మిస్టేక్.
పశువు అయితే తప్పులు చేసినా పర్వాలేదు.
ఇఫ్ ఇట్ ఇస్ ఎనిమల్ దే కెన్ కమిట్ మిస్టేక్.
పశువు కనుక తాను యొక్క ప్రవర్తన తాను చేస్తుండాలి.
ఇఫ్ ఇట్ ఇస్ ఎన్ ఎనిమల్ ఇట్ ఇస్ నేచురల్ ఫర్ ఇట్.
నీవు మనిషి అయిపోయి తప్పులు చేయకూడదు. అలాంటి వాడు తప్పులు చేస్తే మానవుడు ఇది సహజమే అనుకోవటం, ఇది సమర్థించుకోవటం.
ఇట్ ఈస్ రాదర్ డిఫెండింగ్ వన్స్ ఓన్ వీక్నెసెస్ ఇఫ్ వన్ సేస్ టు ఇట్ ఇస్ హ్యూమన్.
పశువుగా పుట్టి పశువుగా ప్రవర్తిస్తుండాలని.
ఎనిమల్ ఈస్ బోర్న్ యాజ్ సచ్ అండ్ కండక్ట్.
మనం మనిషిగా పుట్టి పశువుగా ప్రవర్తించడం ఎంత విరుద్ధము.
వీఆర్ బోర్న్ యాజ్ హ్యూమన్ బీయింగ్స్ బట్ ఇఫ్ వీ కండక్ట్ లైక్ అన్ ఎనిమల్ వాట్ ఎ గ్రేట్ మిస్టేక్.
కనుక నీవు మనిషిగా ప్రవర్తించు.
కండక్ట్ యువర్ సెల్ఫ్ యాజ్ అ మ్యాన్.
So that was the first clip, and you know, in that clip, Swami starts with making some very general but very powerful remarks, you know, especially about our approach to God.
True.
Very beautiful, you know. God is like a clean mirror.
Mm-hmm.
It's a concept which needs a lot of deep thought.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think most of us, you know, from our childhood, we have been brought up with that idea that God punishes.
Yeah.
God rewards.
Correct.
You know, God likes it this way. God dislikes it this way.
Correct.
And to an extent, you know, Swami also plays along with that belief.
Mm-hmm.
But then every now and then Swami gives us this thing that God is attributeless. God is one who is beyond the duality.
Mm-hmm.
So that Swami is actually emphasizing here. And then the other strong point that Swami makes is, you know, nobody has the authority to dictate to God how he should conduct himself.
That's very powerful, very powerful. You know, in this context, I would like to narrate one of the incidents that happened to one of our brothers,
mm-hmm.
Senior brother. You know, he was in his 11th standard.
Okay.
And then he was to do his next course, mm-hmm. either in engineering, doctor, or it was open. The choice was still open and he was still deciding. So Swami went up to him and told him, see, abhi 11th class karta hai. After that, what will you do? Then he kept silent. Swami said, do IAS. That is very good for you. So he said, okay, Swami, I'm ready to do IAS. Then next day Swami came and said, after 11th, kya kar sakta hai? Then he said, Swami, he kept silent. Then Swami said, business karo. Business is very good for you. Then he said, okay, Swami, I'll do business. Then Swami said, no, not IAS, IFS. You have to do IFS. That is very good. And he said, yes, Swami. Then he, next day he came, he said, no, you teach, you give very good talk, no? You become a teacher. So this was going on for a while. And every day Swami came and Swami would say, you do this, something different. So he was really taken aback, and when Swami came the next day, he said, Swami, you are not going to escape today. What is this game? Every day you are coming and giving me a new direction. And Swami said, but what to do? Your mind is like that. You are so confused. So because you are confused, I am only reflecting what is in your mind. I am only reflecting what is in your mind. Because you want to do this today, you want to do something else tomorrow. So I am only reflecting. Then he told Swami, Swami, if you go on like this, then what's the whole point in trying to ask you? I really want you to guide me. When will you actually guide me? Then Swami says, see, when it rains, there's this puddles of water all around, and you have dirty water everywhere on the road. You try to look into that puddle of water and you don't see your reflection clearly because it's all muddy. But if you go to a lake which is still and which is calm and you can see your own reflection. So Swami says, remove all thoughts from your mind. Clean your mind. Be absolutely thoughtless and leave everything to the Lord. Then the Lord's face will be reflected in your heart. The Lord's will be reflected in your life.
Beautiful,
and then Swami will guide you what to do.
you know, making a clear connection between the external form and that internal
divinity. Very true. I mean, again and again, when I sit and think of it, this is the greatest realization that Swami who is inside us is the same Swami who came in the form.
Right.
And now, yes, for whatever reason, He has to chosen to leave the form, giving us the assurance that He is the same Swami who is inside us. So, the more and more we try to connect to Him inside, I think you get the same experience of happiness, the same experience of divinity, when you try to connect with Him inside.
Very true. And you know, when I read this statement again, who has the authority to dictate to God how He should conduct Himself, I'm reminded of what happened with us, you know, once when Swami had called us for an interview, a group of students. Swami had told us that He would speak to us in the evening. So we had all gathered. But you know, Swami, He's more excited in giving than we are in receiving, actually.
True.
So that day Swami actually came much earlier, because Swami said, no, I have to talk to these boys. I've told them, I'll talk to them. Swami came earlier than usual. Of course, a few of us kind of anticipated this from Swami, so we had gone a little early. But you know, some boys were still coming in. So Swami sent word saying that have all of them come. So when Swami was told that Swami boys are still coming, Swami waited, you know, so that everybody comes. So then finally Swami called us in exactly the time when He promised that He would talk to us. So when He went in, still two boys were yet to come. Okay, so you know, we just left word with the boys outside saying that if at all these two boys come, see if they can be permitted inside. So Swami started talking to the gathering there. Then after a while the door opened and the first boy came. So we were a little happy, and so what is Swami's reaction going to be? So when Swami saw that boy, pakoda vachadu, Swami said, he was a little plump boy. Swami said, come in, and Swami cracked a few jokes and spoke to him. Just a minute later, the second boy came.
Okay.
Okay. So that boy also, very politely, he just opened the door and he stood there, you know, to let Swami permit him to come in. So he just stood there. Swami's face was very stern. Swami said, why did you come inside? Who permitted you to come inside?
Pah.
So we were all a little stunned, because just a minute back Swami had a different reaction to the same mistake of coming late to an audience with Swami. So Swami said, why did you come inside? Who let you inside? Swami said, go out.
Pah.
So that boy, you know, that was another thing. The boy had no remorse or dejection on his face. He implicitly obeyed. Apparently he just closed the door and went away. But all of us seated there, our face shrunk. Because we felt bad for that boy. You know, he had such a great opportunity. We all were. And you could feel that mood in the room. Everybody was a little gloomy. Swami just a glance around. And very, very emphatically Swami said, Yeppudu yevaruko yemi valo Swamiki baga telusu.
Amazing, amazing.
And that's it. That was the one statement. No more take up this topic. And you know, I know whom to give. I know when to give. I know what to give.
Beautiful.
So when you say that nobody has the authority to dictate to God,
that's true.
And it's been, you know, we were talking about in our satsangs, which has been going on. We're talking about a devotee who was very, very close to Swami. Very close means this devotee, an elderly lady, had the authority over Swami like his mother had. She could say, Swami, you eat now. Swami, you go for bath now. And Swami would implicitly obey.
Okay.
She had that motherly position in Swami's life in that period. Very close to Swami, and you know, nobody could even penetrate her. She was like, she used to take care of Swami that way. It so happened, one day Swami was invited to a person's house. So Swami accepted the invitation. This elderly devotee, she came and said, Swami, please don't go to that devotee's house. Swami said, why? I've been invited, I want to go. She said, no Swami, please. I'm telling you, don't go to that devotee's house. Swami said, why? And she said, Swami, we have family enmity, that family and our family. So I don't want you to go to that family's house. Swami did not say anything. Swami just walked away from there. And Swami proceeded towards that devotee's house. And as Swami was going out, Swami called another person and said, keep all her things outside. Ask her not to come back anymore.
Bah.
And you know, when that happened, people realized that Swami was only giving in to the compassion and devotion of the people around, but never anybody could actually have control over Swami.
Very true.
It was just as much as Swami willed that people were having their control over Swami.
Very true.
But He was the only one who was in control. Always,
all the
now
time.
And forever.
Forever. That's true.
And then Swami is talking about the defects in the thought. I mean, the defects which we feel the senses have are nothing but the defects that are there in the thought process.
Correct.
And again, you know, Swami had mentioned this even in the previous part of the discourse, when Swami said, nothing is without purpose. God does not do anything without purpose. If you think the senses have been wrongly placed,
correct,
then it is like
pointing outward,
right?
And the youth trying to justify that to err is human, and
right.
We are. And it's most powerful, Swami says, to think that you are human itself is wrong.
And to think that because you are human, you can err. Like, and you know, when the argument which they've been which Swami says here, you know, they argue that God has given them eyes, those that open to the outside world. But actually, if you look at it, there is a door for the eye which looks outside, but there is no door for the eye which looks inside.
True.
The eyelid which is supposed to stop the vision is only for the world outside.
Very true. Very true.
So that itself is actually a message.
Correct.
You have to have control over what you see in the outside world, but you're always welcome to look within.
Within. That's true. You think we should just go on to the next segment,
right.
The
we'll
last
go to
segment?
The last clip. Maybe at the end of it, we can go through the whole discourse quickly.
True.
ఇంకా కొంతమంది గొప్ప తెలివితేటలు కలిగినటువంటి విద్యార్థులు అనేక రకములుగా సమర్థన చేసుకుంటుంటారు.
సమ్ వెరీ క్లెవర్ స్టూడెంట్స్ గో ఆన్ డిఫెండింగ్ దెమ్సెల్వ్స్ ఇన్ నంబర్ ఆఫ్ వేస్.
సాక్షులు స్నేహవిహారం చేస్తున్నాయి. ఎక్కడ కావాల్సింటే అక్కడ పోతున్నాయి. ఏ విధమైనటువంటి పక్షితోనైనా స్నేహం చేస్తుండాలి. కాబట్టి దానికి పూర్తి స్వేచ్ఛ ఉంటుండాలి.
బర్డ్స్ హ్యావ్ కంప్లీట్ ఫ్రీడమ్ టు గో వేర్ ఎవర్ ద లైక్ అండ్ ఈట్ వాట్ ఎవర్ ద వాంట్.
పశువులు మృగములు కూడాను తమ తమ స్వేచ్ఛను తాను అనుభవిస్తున్నాయి.
అనిమల్స్ అండ్ బీస్ ఆల్సో ఎంజాయ్ దట్ కైండ్ ఆఫ్ ఫ్రీడమ్.
పశువులు పక్షులు మృగములు స్వేచ్ఛను అనుభవిస్తుంటే మానవుడు స్వేచ్ఛను అనుభవించలేకర్లేదా?
వెన్ బర్డ్స్ బీస్ అండ్ అనిమల్స్ ఎంజాయ్ దట్ కైండ్ ఆఫ్ ఫ్రీడమ్, షుడ్ నాట్ మ్యాన్ ఎంజాయ్ ది ఫ్రీడమ్?
నిజమే, నీవు కూడా స్వేచ్ఛను అనుభవించు.
Yes, it is true. You also enjoy freedom.
పశువులు ఏ స్వేచ్ఛను అనుభవిస్తున్నాయి?
What type of freedom do animals enjoy?
పశు స్వేచ్ఛను అనుభవిస్తున్నాయి.
It is animals' freedom.
మృగములు ఏ స్వేచ్ఛను అనుభవిస్తున్నాయి? మృగ స్వేచ్ఛను అనుభవిస్తున్నాయి.
Animals are enjoying the freedom of animals.
నీవు మనిషివి, మనిషి స్వేచ్ఛను అనుభవించు, తప్పులేదే.
You are a man. Enjoy the freedom given to man.
నీవు మనిషి వైపు మృగ స్వేచ్ఛను అనుభవిస్తే ఇది దోషం కాదా?
Being a man, if you want to enjoy the freedom of an animal, is it not a mistake?
ఈ ఫ్రీడమ్ ఫ్రీడమ్ అనేటువంటి దానిని మనము పెడర్థాలతో, అనర్థాలతో, నానార్థాలతో దీన్ని అభివృద్ధిపరచుకుని యథార్థాన్ని మర్చిపోతున్నాం.
వీఆర్ గివింగ్ రాంగ్ ఇంటర్ప్రిటేషన్స్, మెనీ ఇంటర్ప్రిటేషన్స్ అండ్ ఫర్గెటింగ్ ద రియల్ మీనింగ్ ఆఫ్ ఫ్రీడమ్.
కనుక ఇది కాదు నిజమైన ఫ్రీడమ్.
దిస్ ఈస్ నాట్ రియల్ ఫ్రీడమ్ అట్ ఆల్.
ఫ్రీడమ్ అంటే ఏమిటి?
వాట్ ఈస్ ది మీనింగ్ ఆఫ్ ఫ్రీడమ్?
స్వేచ్ఛగా సంచరించటం ఆ ఫ్రీడమ్?
Is it licentious?
విచ్చలవిడిగా వదిలిపెట్టమా ఫ్రీడమ్?
Is it licentious kind of behavior that is?
కాదు 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 కాదు.
Certainly not.
ఆత్మజ్ఞానము,
నాలెడ్జ్ ఆఫ్ ఆత్మ,
ఆత్మానందము, ఇవే ఫ్రీడమ్.
కంట్రోలింగ్ ఆఫ్ సెన్సెస్, నాలెడ్జ్ ఆఫ్ ఆత్మ, కంట్రోల్ ఆఫ్ ఆత్మ, దిస్ ఇస్ ఫ్రీడమ్.
వద్దున చిక్బర్ రెండు మ్యాప్లు వేసి ఒకవైపున నాలెడ్జ్, మరొక వైపున క్యారెక్టర్ అని పెట్టాడు.
Morning, Chibber put a picture. On one side there was knowledge, on another side there was character.
కనుక మన బ్యాలెన్స్ ఏమిటంటే ఒకవైపున నాలెడ్జ్, ఒకవైపున గుణము, క్యారెక్టర్, ఈ రెండు సమానంగా ఉండినప్పుడే సక్రమైనటువంటి ఒక బ్యాలెన్స్ ఉంటాడు.
యూ కెన్ ఎంజాయ్ పర్ఫెక్ట్ బ్యాలెన్స్ వెన్ యూ హ్యావ్ ఆన్ వన్ సైడ్ నాలెడ్జ్ అండ్ ఆన్ ది అదర్ సైడ్ క్యారెక్టర్.
నేటి విద్యలు తెలివి తేటలని ఏబెంచు కొంచెమైన గుణము పెంచబోదు.
Today's education increases only one's cleverness, but not the virtuous good habits and good
qualities. Koti vidyalundi gunamu lekunnacho phalamademi vaani viluvademi
you may have a crore types of skills and education. If you do not have virtue, what is the use?
ఎంత తెలివితేటలు ఉండి ఏం ప్రయోజనము?
What is the use?
దానిని తూర్చేటువంటి గుణం కూడా మరొక వైపు ఉంటుండాలి.
There is a need for proper qualities which can be used.
సరైనటువంటి బ్యాలెన్స్ గా ఉంటుంది.
Then only there will be a perfect.
ఈనాటి మానవునకు, ఈనాటి విద్యావంతునకు బ్యాలెన్స్ పూర్తి తప్పిపోయింది.
Today's man and spiritually educated man, there is a
cycle లో బ్యాలెన్స్ తప్పిపోయిందంటే యాక్సిడెంట్ అయిపోతుంది, కింద పడిపోతాడు.
If there is no balance while cycling, one will get involved in
a jeevitamu pavitramaina jeevitamu deento balance lekapothe enta pramadamu.
If there is no balance in man's life, what dangers he is exposed to.
Kanuka indriyamulo oka vaipuna,
on one side sense organs,
vishayamulo koodinatuvanti gunamulo maraku vaipuna,
on the other side habits.
Ee rendintini abhivruddhi kavinchukotame ee vidyavantulu yokka pradhanamainatuvanti oka kartavyam.
The most important one is to develop these two things together in a balanced way. That is
vidyatulara mana indriyulu sarein reetiga adukuno pettukovatam anetundide maatrame kaadu,
it is not
samanvayam parichukovali.
It is not enough if you exercise control over the sense organs.
Patanjali
try to bring about harmony.
Yogaha chittavrutti nirodhaka annadu. Ee chittavrutti nirodhinchadam maha kashtam.
Patanjali has said yoga means controlling of the chitta mind.
Asadhyamu,
it is difficult, impossible.
Samanvayam gaadinchukotamu idi sariyina sulabha margam.
Harmonizing it is easy.
Manchini sweekarinchu,
accept good.
Chedda tanamantaka tame dooramaipothundi.
The bad automatically gets rejected.
Kevalam manavuni yokka balahinatale inta varaku deeniki కారణమైపోతుందని.
ఇట్ ఈస్ ది వీక్నెస్ ఆఫ్ ది మైండ్ విచ్ లీడ్స్ హిమ్ ఆన్ టు ద రాంగ్ పాత్.
విదేశీయుడైనటువంటి కాకులైన వాడు ఉండేటువంటి వాడు.
దేర్ వాజ్ వన్ ఫారినర్ బై నేమ్ కాంప్లన్.
అతను చాలా తెలివితేటలు గలవాడే.
హీ వాజ్ ఎక్స్ట్రీమ్లీ క్లవర్ అండ్ ఇంటెలిజెంట్.
గొప్ప విద్యావంతుడే,
హైలీ ఎడ్యుకేటెడ్.
కానీ ఇంద్రియ నిగ్రహం అనేటువంటిది లేకపోవడం చేత మహా బలహీనుడైపోయాడు.
యాజ్ హీ డిడ్ నాట్ హ్యావ్ కంట్రోల్ ఓవర్ ది సెన్సెస్, హీ బికేమ్ వెరీ వీక్.
ఒక ఇమాజినేషన్ అతనిలో ఉండేటువంటి పాపం.
హీ హ్యాడ్ ఎ వెరీ బిగ్ ఇమాజినేషన్.
రాత్రి పండుకునే సమయం లోపల చాలా నిద్ర పట్టేటువంటిది కాదు.
వెన్ హీ వెంట్ టు బెడ్ టు స్లీప్ ఇన్ ద నైట్,
ఈ విధంగా గడిచేటప్పటికీ అతనికి అనారోగ్యం ప్రారంభమైంది.
ఓవర్ ఎ పీరియడ్ ఆఫ్ టైమ్ హీ డెవలప్డ్ బ్యాడ్ హెల్త్.
పక్కింటి వాడిని పిలిచాడు.
హీ కాల్ ది నైబర్.
సార్, నాకు అనారోగ్యం తెప్పించావు, దీనికి నీవే కారణము.
హీ సెడ్, ఫర్ మై బ్యాడ్ హెల్త్ యు ఆర్ రెస్పాన్సిబుల్.
మీ ఇంటిలో కోడి ఉంటుండాలి.
You have got a cock in your
కోడి రాత్రంతా అరుస్తూ ఉంటుంటాది.
దిస్ ఇట్ గోస్ ఆన్ క్రోయింగ్ థ్రూఅవుట్ ద
అరుపు వల్ల నాకు నిద్ర రావటం లేదు.
ఆన్ అకౌంట్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ దాట్ ఐఎమ్ డిస్టర్బ్.
నీ కోడిని నీవు సరైన భద్రత చేసుకో.
యూ కీప్ యువర్ హెల్త్ అండర్ కంట్రోల్.
ఆరోగ్య భిక్ష పెట్టు అన్నాడు.
సో దాట్ ఐ మే హ్యావ్ గుడ్ హెల్త్.
ఆ పక్కింటి యజమానుడు చెప్పాడు, సార్, మేము అదే ఇంటిలోనే పండుకుంటున్నాం. నా కోడి రాత్రంతా కూసేటువంటి స్వభావం కాదు. ఏ కోడైనా కూడా రాత్రంతా కూయదు. ఏదో రాత్రిలో ఒక పర్యాయం రెండు పర్యాయం కూస్తాయి.
వెల్ సార్, వీ ఆల్సో స్లీప్ ఇన్ ద సేమ్ హౌస్. వీ హావ్ గాట్ ఎ కాక్ దేర్ అండ్ ఇట్ డజంట్ గో ఆన్ డిస్టర్బింగ్ అస్. ఓన్లీ వన్స్ ఆర్ ట్వైస్ ఇన్ ద నైట్ ఇట్ మే.
అప్పుడు కాలేజ్ చెప్పాడు, నిజమే, అది ఒక తూరి రెండు తూర్లో కూస్తుంది.
హీ అగ్రీ. వెల్ వన్స్
అయితే నాకు పండుకున్నప్పటి నుంచి కూడా అది ఎప్పుడు కుస్తుందో ఎప్పుడు కుస్తుందో ఎప్పుడు కుస్తుందో ఎప్పుడు, ఆ యొక్క చింతనే నాకు నిద్ర రాకుండా చేస్తా ఉంది అన్నాడు.
బట్ ది మొమెంట్ ఐ గో టు బెడ్ ఐ స్టార్ట్ ఇమాజినింగ్ వెన్ ఇట్ ఇస్ గోయింగ్ టు గ్రో, వెన్ ఇట్ ఇస్ గోయింగ్ టు, బికాస్ ఆఫ్ మై ఇమాజినేషన్ ఐ గెట్ డిస్టర్బ్.
కోడి కూత వల్ల వచ్చినటువంటి అనారోగ్యం కాదు, తనలో ఉన్న బలహీనత వచ్చినటువంటి అనారోగ్యం.
If the all bad health is on account of his imagination,
ఇంతే ప్రతి ఒక్క వ్యక్తి ఎందుకును తమ ఇంద్రియముల చేత కలిగేటువంటి ప్రమాదముల కంటే ఈ భ్రమల చేత కలిగేటువంటి ప్రమాదములు అధికంగా ఉంటున్నాయి.
Man gets greater dangers on account of his delusions and imagination rather than from sense organs.
కనుక మానవుని యందు ఈ ఇమాజినేషన్ పూర్తి పోవాలి.
Man should give up this kind of imagination.
ఈ ఇమాజినేషన్ ఏ మానవుని చాలా కృంగజేస్తూ ఉంటుండాలి.
ఇట్ ఇస్ దిస్ కైండ్ ఆఫ్ ఇమాజినేషన్ విచ్ వీకమ్స్ ఎ మ్యాన్.
ఇంకా ఇంద్రియముల యొక్క ప్రభావము, ఇంద్రియములు ఏ విధమైన దీంట్లో మనము కొంతవరకు సమన్వయం చేసుకోవచ్చును అనేటువంటిది మున్ముందు మనం విచారిస్తాం.
Later on we are going to inquire into the various types of sense organs, their impact and how to control them.
So that was the last clip of that fourth discourse in that series. Swami saying that, you know, we will talk further about the sense organs. That's the last sentence. But before that, Swami talks about this concept of freedom.
Yeah.
You know, continuing this, the same narrative of the arguments of youngsters.
Correct.
So here Swami is saying the animals have the, you know, the argument is animals have all the freedom to enjoy whatever they want to do.
Mm.
But why isn't man allowed to have the freedom?
Mm.
And very, very strong point Swami is making, animals enjoy animal freedom.
Correct.
You want to enjoy human freedom?
Mm-hmm.
You can enjoy human freedom.
Correct. That is Atmananda, he says.
Right.
Mm.
And you know, typically Swami describes freedom as end of wisdom is freedom.
True.
That is what Swami is saying. You know, that is the freedom which is your wealth for the human, this one. But you want to give up this freedom and you want to lead the freedom of the animals.
True. And then this balance between knowledge and character.
Right.
It's amazing because 1957, as we were discussing earlier, when Swami wrote the first article in Prema Vahini, right from that time Swami has been mentioning about knowledge and character. And even in the first article, because we were reading it, you see how he says knowledge is limited, and even to acquire good knowledge you need good character. And again here he says the balance between knowledge and character is very important.
Right. What Swami mentions here is all today's education is doing is development of intelligence and cleverness.
Correct.
Okay, but not what is essential. If you look at it, it's almost like, you know, let us take intelligence and cleverness to be like a knife.
Okay.
Okay, all the modern education is doing is it's going on sharpening this knife.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't prepare you to what to do with this knife.
Okay.
You know, you could either become a dacoit or you could become a doctor. So the knowledge is not only supposed to sharpen the knife, but it should also give you the training of a doctor.
Correct.
So that you can use this sharp knife in the right manner. But correct. Education is only going on sharpening the knife. It's making you more clever, making you more intelligent.
Mm.
But it's not giving that moral backing which is required to make you utilize this instrument in the best manner possible.
Just think about it. If really knowledge and science and this advancement in technology is so vital to our living, what about people who have led their lives for centuries? Means, didn't they lead fulfilled lives, or didn't they lead complete lives? Finally, at the end of the day, when you're hungry, you should have food, and when you want to take rest, you should get sleep. Is there anything? how much can science and technology give you sleep?
Right. No, if you look at it, you know, the most striking theory in pedagogy, in learning, they talk about this Maslow's hierarchy.
Okay.
Right? I don't know if I've got the term right, Maslow's hierarchy, where they talk about how you satisfy each yearning of human birth.
Okay.
But still you will not find happiness, you have to go a little higher.
Mm-hmm.
They say first, you know, the first lower level is shelter, clothing and food.
Okay.
And then there is influence.
Mm-hmm.
Then there is, you know, a certain higher level.
Mm-hmm.
And they say the highest level, till you reach there, you will not be satisfied. You know, you will keep going through this thing. But if you actually look at what you've done through science and what you're doing now, we are only, you know, digging in the same level.
Mm.
It is said that, you know, once the food and the clothing and everything is taken care of, you have to go to the higher level. But
next level.
We are only getting better at making better food. We are getting better at building better shelters. You know, still searching for happiness where it is not there. Like,
very true.
You know, the famous short story is there, where a man is searching for something outside his hut. And the wise man comes by and says, "What are you looking for?" He says, "I'm searching for a needle." So the man asks him, you know, "Why did you lose the needle?" No, I was stitching inside the hut and I dropped the needle. So I'm looking for the needle. So then what are you looking for it outside? He says, "No, there was not enough light inside the hut. So I thought I'll come out and search outside because it's so bright here." So we are going on searching for something which is not available in a level.
Correct.
And, you know, getting better and better at doing the wrong thing, literally. And Swami again talks about this important feature, I mean, important thing about balance. I think many times before, even in the previous discourses, Swami has mentioned the importance of balance.
Very
in
true.
This context, it is the balance between education and moral character and
knowledge and character.
Knowledge and character.
Then he says that he mentions about Patanjali Yoga, and he says control of the mind is really difficult. But getting this harmony and balance, he says, is a very good way of, you know, keeping everything in check. And concentrate on what is good, then you will be automatically keeping yourself away from what is bad. I mean, the sentence itself is so simple and so straightforward. And then he says, actually, if you analyze this discourse, this particular discourse, that is the fourth discourse, he says mastery of the senses and a little bit of homework, and you realize that Swami has given many ways of controlling the senses. Now, from this discourse, we have come out with a list of 15 ways of controlling the senses. Actually, when you listen to the discourse, it just flows. It flows so beautifully, and you don't realize that Swami has really given us so much of. So, very quickly, we'll go through.
Yeah, definitely,
because in a way, it will be summarizing this discourse as well.
Right.
So, mastery of senses. He says, the first way is consider the senses as horses, and the mind is the reins.
Beautiful.
And so, using the mind, you need to control the senses.
Right.
He says in the Kathopanishad, it's called as Ashwa. And he goes on from there into Ashwamedha Yajna as well. So that is the first way of controlling the senses.
So I think the first thing, if we can rephrase it, Swami is talking about perspective.
Okay.
The first way, first tool to
Control the senses, to get the right perspective. That's very true. That you have a chariot, and the reins which control the senses
are the mind.
Is the mind.
The horses are the senses.
Horses are the senses.
So the reins have to pull the horses and have them in control. Not that the reins should not be drawn by the waywardness of the horse.
Exactly. And then the second one, he says, is observe limits. So he says these are senses are called matra.
Matra.
And so the moment you observe limits, then automatically the senses come under control. So the limit that it indicates that the limit to what can be experienced by each sense organ has been prescribed by the law, by the divine. See, he says the senses are given, but to what limit you should use them. You cannot overexpose your eyes to too much of light, nor can you overexpose your ears to too much of sound. Similarly, you cannot overuse your senses beyond what they are. So keep them under limit.
Right.
That is second way of controlling. Then the third way is to use the senses for the purpose for which they were given. So he says, it is only by properly using the God-given senses for the purposes for which they are intended that man can rise to divine heights.
Right. Swami talks about taking snuff and
exactly,
you know, things, misusing the senses.
Yeah, misusing the senses. So this is also a way of creating awareness of how you can control the senses by using them in the proper
Talking less.
Yeah,
not talking ill of others.
Correct.
So many things Swami mentioned in that
vein. Yes. Then he says the fourth one. He says the senses should not be pampered. He says just because the senses want this and want that, you cannot keep satisfying the senses, because they are bound to drag you outward. Then there actually he gives the examples of a person with two wives or a person with three wives. He gives the example of King Uttanapada, Dhruva's father, and also of Dasharatha with three wives. And then he says man has 10 wives, Pancha, Karmendriyas and Gyanendriyas. So he says don't pamper the senses.
So what Swami essentially saying is, you know, lay the ground rules. Who is the master?
Very true.
Because in the previous thing, Swami is saying that, you know, senses can be given, but within limits.
Correct.
So the second one, Swami is saying that always ensure that you are the master.
Correct.
You do not satisfy the senses as and when and whatever they ask for. But lay the rules. This is what you will get.
Correct.
And I decide.
Then the fifth way is harmonize the senses through equal-mindedness.
Right.
And he says, there is where he brings in the examples of Tukaram, Kabir, Einstein, and he says, forbearance. And one very simple way of actually, don't take it too seriously, with humor, you know, like the way Einstein just right. took it so lightly. He said, when his wife was really annoyed that he was not answering to her call for coming for lunch, she would shout every day, but on a particular day, it went beyond her limit and she went and poured a bucket, a jug of water on his head. And then he said, till now there was only lightning and thunder. Finally, there's a downpour. I mean, that is a very humorous way of accepting the situation. And he's able to control his sense, possibly his anger. He could have really got agitated. So that way of forbearance, right. That is the fifth way.
Right. What Swami says here is, you know, invariably when you talk of senses, there's the pleasant, the unpleasant.
True.
The likable, the, you know, the detestable.
Exactly.
So Swami is saying that if your mind is equal, then you this disparity or this duality vanishes.
Vanishes. Very
good. So you don't run behind one particular aspect, or, you know, you don't run away from one certain thing which the senses don't like.
Exactly. And the sixth point is through one-pointed devotion and complete surrender to the Lord. The senses can definitely be brought under control.
I think it's, we should talk about the anecdote which one of our listeners wrote to us last week. Very perfectly, you know, is placed here. One Mr. Bharani Dharan, he had written to us. Very beautiful. He was part of that team of youngsters who went to serve during the tsunami which happened in southern India.
Chennai, yeah.
In coastal Tamil Nadu, basically.
Correct.
There were a lot of groups which had gone there to help in the rescue operation. But there was one activity which nobody was ready to do.
Okay.
That was clearing the dead bodies.
Okay.
Because a numerous number of dead bodies had been washed to the shore. So somebody had to clear these dead bodies and give a decent and respectable funeral to these bodies, because most of them were unclaimed. So you can imagine, you know, this was about 5 or 6 days after the disaster had happened. So these were all bodies which were either in the sea or it was, you know, in the backwaters. They were half rotten. So very, very deplorable state. No organization was actually coming forward to do this.
Okay.
Siva. You can forget about the municipality and the government. No other NGO also is ready. So these youth, you know, from Swami's organization, they came forward to do this. So you can imagine how repulsive it would have been to do this thing. So they said the only way they actually went about doing this thing was they were chanting Sai Gayatri loudly and together. And he said it was, devotion of course was there. He writes that we needed it to do this work.
You needed to divert the senses. Right. Oh God.
When we chanted Sai Gayatri so loudly and together, we could do this work. And it so happens, you would have heard the Velangani church, the very famous church, it's there in the coast. And a lot of these bodies were actually in the church compound.
Okay.
So these youth had gone there and they were clearing. And there were some of these narrow-minded people there who said, no, no, in the church you cannot chant like this Gayatri and all that. You cannot chant here. You do it without. So the boys immediately stepped aside and said, you know, no offense meant, but we cannot do it without chanting Swami's name.
Okay.
So the church authorities, you know, they turned to the government officials and they said, can you come and help us? The government officials, the municipal workers, they said, we can do it, but you'll have to pay for our liquor. He said, if we don't drink, we cannot do this work. And we need to drink more than we usually drink, because this is not an ordinary work.
Really?
And that's when all the people realized that this chanting Swami's name was actually diverting their mind so much that they could, these boys could do this work.
Literally deep in wine, divine.
Really,
divine is, you know, more intoxicating than
intoxicating
wine.
And these boys, and I remember Swami had specially sent word asking this band of youngsters to come and have one darshan of Swami. Swami had sent word saying that ask these boys to come after they finish. And nothing, Swami did not talk to them. They just sat for a darshan and returned. I mean, if my memory serves me right, it also shows what one darshan, what purification one glimpse of Swami can do to us.
Really amazing. So, you know, that's amazing, really, how divine is more intoxicating than wine.
That's the point Swami makes here. You know, one-pointed devotion.
And complete.
Equal-mindedness was one point Swami made earlier. And here is one-pointed devotion, how it can help you.
Beautiful. You know. And then the next point he says, don't blame the environment. He says, don't blame the environment. He says, what actually matters is purity. Purity of one's impulses, sincerity of purpose and determination in treading the divine path. That is what is of essence. Don't blame the environment. You may be in any environment. So, that is the seventh point. And then the eighth point is quite interesting because he says, train to divert the mind.
Okay.
See, that's also suits with what we just discussed.
Right.
He says, try to divert the senses to something higher, to something stronger. So, that way, you can control your senses and divert them. The ninth point he says is, Pashupati. Divert your senses inward.
Mm-hmm.
You become the Pashupati. The senses are also known as Pashu, that is animals. So you become Pashupati, who is the lord of the animals.
Mm-hmm.
And you divert it inward. Then the tenth way he says is, he says contemplate. See, now he is going to a slightly higher level method of
subtler
methods of actually controlling the senses. He says, by thus contemplating the momentary and deceptive nature of the so-called sense pleasures, mm-hmm. we can develop discrimination and detachment and keep the senses under check. So, slowly he's raising the bar. He says, now you start contemplating. He says, you may want to eat a laddu, but you cannot have laddu every day. So, he says, it's momentary, it's temporary. So you contemplate on that nature of the senses and go above. Then he says, another important point you should note is that if the senses are kept busy in the right way, there will be no trouble from them. Otherwise, you will become their slave. So recognize what is the purpose for which the senses have been given to you and use them in the right way. That is as important as using the senses.
And there cannot be a better example for this than our hostel, I think.
What?
Because you're kept so occupied.
That's one of the things
which happens.
Swami, the schedule on the hostel.
And it's not any schedule because the whole thing has been set by Swami.
Okay.
What you do when you wake up.
Mm.
After you do your suprabhatam, what you do. What time you go for jogging.
Mm.
The entire schedule has been penned by Swami.
Mm.
And to make sure... once we had a very interesting exercise when you were studying in the university,
mm-hmm.
we gave different color codes.
Okay.
For each activity is either sattvic, mm-hmm. rajasic or tamasic.
Okay.
And we gave color codes for each one of them.
Okay.
And we made a pie chart,
mm-hmm.
like starting from 4 to this time.
Oh.
The activities, what color will it come?
Okay.
So then the next activity, what color will come?
Mm.
And when we did that, it was so beautiful
mm-hmm.
because Swami had so beautifully interspersed the three different gunas, if you could call it.
Oh, okay.
You start with, let's say you start by sleep. You're sleeping, that's tamasic. Then you wake up, that's sattvic. Then you go for jogging, it's rajasic. Then you again come back. If you could call eating food and, satisfying those senses as tamasic. And then again you go for prayer. Then you again go to your classes. Then you have practicals. Then you come back, you pray. Then again you go for games.
Wow.
So beautifully, it was so well spread out. And the fact is, I think we all are a testimony for the fact that we don't know how we spent 3 years, 5 years, 10 years in the hostel. That was one of the main ways Swami kept the senses and all the equipments of the human body so occupied.
Correct.
Right?
So then there are just two, three other ways Swami has mentioned in this. He says, I think this is the portion we did today. The defects that you attribute to the senses are in fact the defects in your own thought processes and feelings.
Right.
So once we realize that it's what we attribute the negativity to the senses is actually what we have within,
right.
Then that realization helps us to control them. Then the next one is, he says, don't try to justify. Go beyond this easy path saying that, no, we are made human, so senses, we can do what we want. So then he says, he combines it with the fact saying that don't try for animal freedom, try for human freedom.
Right.
Animal freedom is one thing, but human freedom is what is important. Then the 14th way of actually controlling the senses is have good character. Along with knowledge, it is most important to have character. Then only you can enjoy a perfect balance in life. So this balance between knowledge and character is the 14th way. And then the 15th way is just a sentence where Swami mentions very beautifully, concentrate on what is good. Then they will be away from what is bad. The senses will be away from what is bad. You just concentrate on what is good, and then the senses will be away from what is bad. I think I mentioned this earlier. Like one devotee asked Swami, Swami, what is the meaning of surrender? How do we know? How do we surrender to you? And Swami said, just believe in the fact that Swami is omnipresent. That He is always with you. So, when you are seeing something, when you are doing something, concentrate on what is good. And know that Swami is there always. Then you will automatically, you can get your senses under check.
And you know, the last point which I think will just quickly go, I don't know if you could add that as the other method.
Mm-hmm.
Swami talks about the power of imagination.
Mm-hmm.
Swami is saying that all your problem is actually your own imagination.
Very true.
You know, Swami tells that little story in the end about the man who gets disturbed
with the cock.
With the cock.
Yeah.
You know, actually it's a very, very strong analogy. We've gone through it so many times.
Mm-hmm.
In Vedanta, it is, you know, the imagination of a snake lying on the path.
Correct.
The rope. You know, Swami says that, you know, how many emotions come in that one imagination. That's what, you know, the Vedas say.
Correct.
You imagine a snake, and then you have fear, then you have worry, then you have anxiety, you know, a plethora of emotions just out of that imagination. So, you know, putting it in this context about senses, if you see, it's all imagination that we feel that if I get this, I'll be happy.
Correct.
If I stay away from this, I'll be happy. If I do this, then I will be in pain. You know, we are building completely everything on imagination.
Correct.
It's almost a challenge which Swami is giving, that, you know, give up all that imagination, you try my method, then you will know.
Any one of the 15 methods.
Any one of the 15 methods.
That's amazing. I don't know if we have time to very quickly run through the first three discourses.
Okay.
You know, let's go as far as it goes,
right,
possibly. Because as we were discussing last time, it's good to just revise,
right,
because it's like preparing for an examination.
One discourse, we didn't realize there were 15 points with Swami.
Exactly, there's 15 points and 15 ways of controlling the senses in chapter, this first chapter, this fourth chapter. I mean, Swami starts off with, the first discourse starts off with the importance of truth. And he says, to every man born on earth, truth is verily the visible God. An entire universe has emerged from truth. That's a very beautiful poem that Swami sings. Then truth and righteousness. Then he says, no matter what scholarship or position or authority you have, we have to adhere to human values. I mean, the truth and human values is not beyond anyone's position or success, worldly success, we would say. So then he goes on to say how science and technology today is diverting human interest towards so many external things that they are not able to concentrate on truth, and they are being carried away. So truth and righteousness go to the background. So he says that's not good. And he says how samskriti, the refinement and your approach to truth and righteousness is very important. He gives examples of paddy and how with refinement the paddy becomes rice and its value also goes up. He gives an example of that wrist watch, the lump of metal, lump of steel. Unless you make it into a wrist watch, it's of no use and the value goes up. So that is more or less what Swami said in the first discourse, where he again and again harps on truth and righteousness. And he says that's very important. So it's like introducing you to a totally new truth of who you actually are. Then he concludes the first discourse with saying that the Vice Chancellor has asked me to speak about the true nature of the body, mind, senses, intellect and Atma. And he says, of what avail is it for one to know all about the external world without knowing what one's own reality?
Right.
It is important for you to understand the nature of Brahman and Atman.
You know, such a beautiful first discourse. It's almost like the introductory lecture to the first semester of a course, you know,
exactly,
where the dean comes and gives you a full overview of what is going to be taught.
Yeah.
Literally, you know, you come for a seminar on culture. What is the end process of this culture?
It's truth. It's true.
And you should know everything about yourself.
Amazing. And very beautifully, as we go on in these discourses, the first poem that Swami sings, it very beautifully summarizes, it's like, this is the syllabus I'm going to cover in this particular discourse.
The abstract of the
discourse. Abstract of the discourse. Really. You know, going on quickly to the second discourse, he says, the discourse is titled, Sanctify the Body. Then he says, you are not the body, the bundle of flesh, bones and blood. Neither are you the unmanifested desires, nor the manifested mind. You are not the infatuating delusion that thwarts your liberation, but you are the eternal Paramatma, if only you recognize your innate power. So that's the poem that Swami sings. And he very quickly gives us various definitions of the body. So he gives us a very beautiful example. He starts with a person trying to wear a banyan shirt and a coat. He says, if you do not understand the actual purpose,
meant for.
Yeah, you may wear the shirt and then you may wear the coat and then the banyan right on top. So he says, you should understand the nature of the senses, mind, to use them in the proper way.
Interestingly, if you do anything like that, it becomes a fashion now.
that's true.
Literally, you know, going by what Swami is telling now, we are doing some things topsy-turvy, and we are glad about it, we are proud about it.
So he says, dahyate iti dehaha. He gives various definitions for the human body.
So beautiful. Sharira,
why? Because it's liable to decay. Right. Then he says, body is also called as mandir, because we enshrine the Atman inside. It's also called Kshetra, because it's like a field.
It's like a field and it's also like a pilgrim center.
It's like a pilgrimage center. And you have to become the Kshetrajna, the one who knows the Kshetra. Then he says, the other meaning of Kshetra is a field. So what you sow, so you reap. And then he goes on to say that for good health, two aspects, ahara and vihara, are very important.
The food you take and the habits.
Habits, yeah. So, this sentence, I think we repeated it when we came about, even at that time. The body is cleansed by water, while the mind is purified by truth. This was very something profound. Amazing. He tells it in a context where he says, the whole water cycle, he gives the example of the whole water cycle. Depending on the kind of logs that you use, the smoke comes. Depending on the smoke, the food is cooked.
Just looking at it, we just said, you know, Swami told somebody, you keep telling yourself that you're God, then you reach. It is literally like that. Swami is saying truth purifies the mind like water purifies the body.
Exactly.
That is the truth.
That's the
God. You keep washing your mind with that.
Exactly.
And one day it will be...
Then he goes on to a little bit of what is sattvic food. Sattvic food is not just eating fruits and drinking milk, but it is what you take in through all the senses. And he says the body, which is also known as mandir, you have different doors, so you can choose whom to allow inside, whom not to allow. Then he gives examples for vihara. What are the kind of habits? You may buy a new car, but if you indiscriminately drive it, you're going to cause harm to yourself and to people. So then he says, people say the body is inert, but if you keep collecting dust from your house, even that grows into a big pile.
Just like how your body grows.
Yeah. So he says, then man is prone to three kinds of misconceptions in relation to the body. One is to mistake himself to be something that is not real, his real self. Another is to regard persons or objects that do not belong to him as his own. The third is to believe the temporary as everlasting. So these are the three. So very quickly going on to the third discourse, which he continues on the theme of the body,
the moving temple.
So he says, although the human body is worthless and it's just it's a valueless iron safe, it enshrines the Atma. So you have to give it its importance. Then he says a very beautiful point. By subjecting the body to torture, can you realize the Atma? By giving up food and water, can you attain liberation?
That wonderful Padma Swami says, can by beating the anthill, snake be killed?
Exactly. Yeah, in that context he mentions that. So he says, self-realization is possible only through knowing your own real nature. So then he goes on to say, what is self-knowledge? That is that is drashta. And he says, that is the ultimate form of bhakti.
Right.
The ultimate aim of bhakti is to become a drashta and to experience the world with a spiritual perspective of background.
To become the witness.
Yes, to become the witness. Yeah. And Manava, he explains what is the meaning of Manava. Manava is one which is not new, you are ancient.
You are ancient.
Yet ever.
Swami makes a beautiful point there where he says, you know, the body is new, but you are Manava.
Correct, correct, correct. Then he says how the body itself can be compared to a limited company. Everything has to be within limits. And then he goes on to how you have to use the body with ceiling on desires. Ceiling on desires is very, very crucial, and he goes in good length. Don't waste food, don't waste money, don't waste energy, don't waste time. Then he says, what are the two types of self when you talk of self-confidence? One is the three-lettered and one is the one-lettered I.
Right.
One-lettered I and the three-lettered I. So, this way Swami goes on and then he talks about food, head and God. How, what is the interrelationship between food, head and God? Then he says, you all speak of meditation. What do you know about meditation? It's not merely sitting in a comfortable posture with your eyes closed, but your mind is wandering in the bazaar shop or the washerwoman's laundry or in the bazaar. Instead of engaging yourself in such futile exercises, you had better enter into the society and undertake selfless service. Without understanding what real meditation is, your attempts at meditation will only result in sound sleep. So, first of all, try to understand the nature of the mind. Then only you will be able to control it. So, in this way, you know, Swami leads from the body to the senses, to the mind. And then, as we summarize the fourth discourse, we had 15 points and 15 ways of actually controlling the senses.
Look at all these discourses. What a lot of things Swami is doing. Swami is challenging us.
Exactly.
Swami is mocking at us. Swami is encouraging us. Swami is
teaching us.
Giving us courage. Swami is saying, you try this, it will work. You know, everything as a friend would do. You know, friend would make fun of you. At the same time, the friend would stand by you.
A true friend.
A true friend. And literally, that's what Swami is doing. All kinds of things. You know, a very, very wise friend. And we indeed are so very grateful to Swami for being that in our lives. So that, dear listeners, is the end of the fourth discourse. We've somehow managed to give a sketchy maybe summary of all the four discourses. So next week we'll be meeting you with a new discourse, the fifth one in the series. Vishu is here. We're well into his slot of outside, inside, deep inside, but he'll be with you shortly. He'll not disappoint you. We're going to leave you with the bhajan Swami sang at the end of this discourse. And on the other side of this bhajan, you'll have a segment outside, inside, deep inside.
Govinda Gopala Prabhu Giridhari. Govinda Gopala Prabhu Giridhari.
Govinda Gopala Prabhu.
Govinda Gopala Udaya Vihari.
Govinda Gopala Udaya Vihari.
Govinda Gopala Udaya Vihari.
Govinda Gopala Udaya Vihari.
Govinda Gopala Udaya Vihari. Chora
Nanda Kumara Navanita Chora
Nanda Kumara Navanita Chora
Nanda Kumara Navanita Chora
Udaya Vihara Bhagavita Chora
Govinda Gopala Udaya Vihari.
Oh, you know.